The following audio is from First Hamilton Christian Reformed Church, where our vision is to be transformed by the gospel so that we can participate with God in his work of renewing all things in Christ. For more information about First Hamilton, visit www.firsthamilton.ca.
If you've been with us through this time, you'll know that we're working our way slowly through the fruit of the Spirit, one at a time. Every Sunday. We will pick up the pace slightly in the coming weeks. And what we've seen is that two things have risen to the surface. First is that Paul is talking about fruit, not fruits. It is one character, one kind of person that Paul is describing here. He's describing a Christian who's filled with God's Spirit, that we ought to be growing in all of these at the same time. This is what it looks like to be a Christian, is to be one who is growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. And the second is this, that the fruit of the Spirit is exactly what we need right now, here today. That the things in our lives that are that we struggle with can be treated with Christian character. That is how the gospel teaches us to approach life, is through the lens of the Christian character, and it changes things for us. It changes everything. And so today we're going to be looking at patience. We looked at James and that passage on patience, and I want to point us to another place, not a place in the Bible, but a place in our city-ish, Canada's Wonderland. Okay, how many of us have been to Canada's Wonderland or an amusement park or a carnival? Probably many of us have gone somewhere like that before. And one of the things that happens when it's inevitable when you go to a place like Wonderland is that you encounter lines. Now, lines are a test in patience. The story of a day at Wonderland is that you arrive, you're excited, and then you arrive at your first line. And you wait for an hour or longer in order for 3 minutes of intense excitement. You know what I mean? Canada's Wonderland is an exercise in patience. Patience is waiting in line without complaining for an hour for a three-minute ride. Now, the problem that we face is that patience is hard. Patience is hard. And Canada's Wonderland is an anomaly in our world today. Because over the past number of years, the lines at Wonderland have actually gotten longer, not shorter. We've had to exercise more patience, not less. And that's opposite to how things are trending in our culture. Just think about it. There were days when if you wanted to have a new pair of jeans that weren't sold in the store, you had to get out the Sears catalog, fill out what size you were, what model you wanted, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, send it to the company, wait a month, and then receive your jeans in the mail. Now contrast this with what is now known as Amazon Prime, one-click shopping. You can click on something and it will arrive at your door sometimes the very same day, if not the next day. So we've cut out 29 days of patience. Now there's more than that too. It used to be that when you were waiting in the line for the grocery store, you were doing just that. You were waiting in line. Now you're waiting in line with a glowing rectangle that can give you instant dopamine hits as you check out your bananas and your pasta and your meat and your cheese. We don't have to be patient very often in this world. But here's the thing. Not everything can be one-clicked. Not everything can give us instant dopamine hits. There are still things in our world that require patience. Let me tell you three. People. People require patience. If you want to be a person who has strong, deep, and lasting relationships, then you have to be patient. Relationships take a ton of time and a ton of energy and a ton of grace. Relationships are not forged overnight. They are deepened over time. On top of that, what deepens friendships and relationships the most is actually being able to walk with somebody through a time of difficulty in their life. Those are the experiences that deepen friendships and relationships. People require patience. Career requires patience. If you want to develop a career that provides you with a good, solid job security, the opportunity to move up, to gain promotions, you often have to exercise a tremendous amount of patience. You have to start at the bottom, you know, and you have to work your way up. It takes time and it takes patience in order to grow a business or a career. People, career, and I should add that even goes to schooling, whatever grade you're in right now, think about how many grades you've been in before and how many are ahead of you. Education takes patience. You can't just zap yourself to grade 12 or to a master's degree. It takes time. Last thing, suffering. If there's something true about life, it's that we will all suffer. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And suffering requires patience because there's often no clear way to resolve it. We have to stick it out. We have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no way around it. And our culture and our society does not provide us with the resources required, the tools required to be patient in relationships, in career, in suffering. Just think about the technological advancements of the last 10 years from Tinder to Amazon Prime, and it has been short-circuiting patience in these areas. Life hacks, we could add to that list as being a way to short-circuit education or career. Our culture is driving us to quicker, 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 and we're losing the resources, the tools to know how to be patient. But what I want to show you today is how the Christian faith provides us with tools and resources to be patient, to be the most patient people in the world. James, the half-brother of Jesus, shows us three things about patience in this passage. First, what it is. Second, why it's so hard. And third, how to get it, or how to grow in it. How to get the ability to grow in it. First, what is patience? So patience, here's my definition. Patience is being able to take it without acting out of ourselves. Patience is being able to take it without acting out of ourselves. Now, what do I mean by this? I'll start to unpack this now, okay? So you know the phrase, life happens. How many of you have heard that, have used that phrase? Life happens. Life happens. We have problems. That's kind of a way, that's what it's used for. Ah, problems. Life happens. There's problems. There's struggles. We encounter suffering. And patience is when life happens to not act out of ourselves with our words, our thoughts, or our actions. Now, I'm going to use an illustration in a second, but I'm just going to continue to unpack patience a little bit. James writes in this passage about patience when he says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains, you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now, in this passage, the two main words for patience are used. The first is makrothumena, and it's a Greek word that means long suffering, to suffer a long time, to suffer with somebody for a long time, to suffer in something for a long time. When James says, be patient, it literally is translated, suffer long. That's the first word. The second, he says in verse 8, you too, be patient and stand firm. Stand firm is a word, hupomeno. And it's a combination of two words in the Greek language, hupo, hyper, and meno, which means remain. So basically, a really literal translation would be to remain for a long time, to hyper remain, okay, to stand, to hyper stand. So James applies these two words, patience, to be long suffering, to remain for a long time, to an illustration he gives us on a farmer. Now, James is writing about a place that's extremely hot most of the time and extremely dry. And so, as a farmer, there are two times of the year where there are rains. There's the spring rains and the autumn rains. Other times of the year, hot and dry. So the trick is, for a farmer, that you have to plant as soon as the rain happens. That's your window of opportunity. And the danger, of course, is that sometimes weather can be unpredictable. And rains won't always come when you think they're going to come or when they're supposed to come. So if a farmer is impatient and says, I gotta plant. It's getting late in the season. I just gotta plant. I don't know if the rains are gonna come. And he plants, he's in trouble, because he's going to lose everything. And the rains always come. We just don't know when. So let me apply this to your life. And James says, this is what patience is. Patience is waiting for the rain. Waiting for the rain where you don't know when it's going to come, but you know it's going to come. Now let me try to apply this a little bit. Your friend at school comes to you and shares with you something really difficult about their life, and you don't know how to respond. You don't know how to help them. You don't know what to say. Patience is staying as their friend by their side, even though it's really uncomfortable, even though you don't have the words to say, even though you don't know what to do, or you don't have all the answers, or you might not agree with everything they're saying or they're doing. Remain, suffer long, stay with them, right? Patience is being able to take it, to wait, to suffer long, to remain standing in life without acting out of ourselves. Now, this means that a part of patience is hope. James says, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Patience is not just taking it and suffering long and standing in life. Patience is being able to suffer long because you have something that empowers you, animates you, enables you to do so. It's the Lord's coming. It fills us with hope. There's a moment in Lord of the Rings, in the last book, The Return of the King, where Frodo and Sam are in the depths of Mordor, and everything is looking more hopeless. The ring is feeling heavier and heavier. Frodo's energy is lower and lower, and Sam and Frodo find this spot, and they lay down, and they're going to try to rest just a few hours, and Sam is so hopeless. He doesn't know how to help his friend. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's scared, and he looks up at the sky, and he sees the stars. And J.R.R. Tolkien says this. He says, there, peeping among the clouds, above a dark tower, high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. As a Christian, we have that white twinkling star that we can look to and that empowers us to be patient. It's the hope of the coming of the Lord. It's the hope that we know how this game ends, that despite everything that goes on around us, we have to keep our eyes on us, that Christ will return, that he will renew all things. Therefore, patience. Sinclair Ferguson reminded me of this week as he said that in the early church, to not think of the return of Christ on a daily basis was considered a hypocrisy. Have we lost this? Have we lost the fact that this is what empowers a lot of our lives to look ahead at what we know is coming for us in the renewal of all things? How can we be patient without hope? And we have a hope, the return of Christ. Patience is waiting without acting out of ourselves because you know how the game ends. So you can be patient. You're like that farmer who knows that the rain will come. We don't know when, but we know it will come. Therefore, patience. Now, why do we need it? We need patience because we face really hard things in life. Really hard. Two examples of patience that James gives us in verses 10 and 11 are about really hard problems for people. He talks about the prophets and he talks about Job. Right? Those are two examples that we're given. Now, the prophets, these are people who are called by God to give a message of repentance to the nation of Israel. They were sent by God to call the people back to following God, being obedient to him and his laws and the covenant. And I challenge you to think of one prophet whose life ended up working out really well in the end. They didn't. Their life was really hard. And I can imagine that so many of them thought often, why am I doing this? It's like beating my head up against a brick wall. These people are not listening. They're persecuting me. They're treating me so poorly. This is not going well. And yet, why am I called to do this? Or Job. Job was a wealthy man, incredibly wealthy. And he had everything stripped away from him. Everything. His family, his wealth, his friends, you could argue. And throughout the book, Job questions, why? Why is this happening to me? Our lives, your life, it is different than the prophets. It's different than Job. But life happens to all of us in different ways. There are things in your life right now that are really hard, that are testing your patience. When life happens to us, we struggle with patience. What does it look like to struggle with patience, though? Reading this passage this week, I realized why verses 8 and 9 flow so well beside each other. It's because they're connected. James says, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble." Why does he say that? Well, when we lose our patience, when we think to ourselves, we lose our patience when life gets hard and God's schedule does not align with our schedule. When things happen in life that we can't understand, we don't know how to, we don't want to happen, and the first thing that we think of is, what is going on? God, why is this happening to me? That's the first thing we think of. We don't think of Romans 8:28, therefore God works all things together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. No, the most natural thing that we think about when hard things happen in our lives is why? Why me? Why does this have to happen to me? And that's an honest thing. But losing our patience leads us to grumbling. It's this grumble. Because our schedule is different than God's schedule. And you can grumble about your life situation. I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? How come stuff always happens to me? Geez, God, if you were really on my side, then you wouldn't let this happen to me. That's grumbling about life. But you can also grumble about the people in your life. Now, this can happen in your head, this can happen in your heart, or this can literally happen out of your mouth. Now, I can't believe this person is like this. Why does this person act like that? They're so silly, ridiculous, so frustrating. They're out to get me. This person's out to get me. This person is plotting against me. This happens in all of our relationships, whether you're a married person, whether you're a single person, whether you're in school. When we get impatient with people, when our thoughts are negative towards them, when we grumble in our thoughts about other people. Everything in our social media world is stacked against us and grumbling against people. Look at that perfect picture on Instagram and we start to think, I bet their life is terrible underneath that perfect facade. You know, we grumble. Instead of saying, and this is what two people say when they get married to each other, right? The wedding vows are about the future. They're future oriented. They're not about the love at the present time. They're about the future. And basically what you're saying when you get married to somebody is, I see who God is making you and I want to be a part of it. I know you're not perfect, but I want to help you get there. I want to participate with God in that process. That is not grumbling. That's patience. That's saying, I am going to suffer with you. This is going to be hard. We're going to go through ups and downs, but I'm going to suffer with you so that both of us get better. Both of us become more like the people God has created us to be. But you know what? We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. And so when a friend or a spouse or a child or someone does something we don't like, we lash out at them. We grumble. We get angry. We get frustrated. We don't have patience. We don't suffer long. We don't remain fully committed. We grumble. But here's the thing. When we grumble at life, or we grumble at people, it's because we're actually really underneath it all grumbling at God. Let's face it, we want life on our schedule. We want things to happen the way that we imagine them to happen. We don't want what God's planned for us, even though we know Romans 8:28 that it's the best thing for us. It's so hard that we short-circuit it. We don't want it. It's hard. And so we throw in the towel and we grumble. We say, God, why are you sending this to me? This way back is intertwined in the first sin. It's what Adam did to God. It's the woman you gave me, he said. Right? He grumbles to God. He blames Eve. So all impatience with life and other people stems from impatience with God. And when we peel away the layers of the onion and we get at the core, what's really going on here when we're impatient? It's self-centeredness. It's selfishness. It's putting ourselves in the place of God. And I appreciate Brian prayed this morning. Therefore, have no other gods before me. Impatience, grumbling against life, grumbling against people, is putting yourself in the place of God. It's a big deal. C.S. Lewis points out how big a deal it actually is when he says this: hell begins with a grumbling mood. Always blaming others. You may even criticize it in yourself and wish you could stop it, but there may come a day when you can no longer. Then there will be no you left to criticize the mood or even enjoy it, but just the grumble itself going on forever like a machine. It's not a question of God sending us to hell. In each of us, there is something growing which will be hell unless it's nipped in the bud. Impatience leads to grumbling. Grumbling is self-centeredness, and self-centeredness leads us away from God. away from life. We need patience because without it, we're at odds with God. We're enemies with God. So how do we get it? Patience is trusting in God's schedule above your own. The way to grow in patience is to trust and depend on the God of patience. First, you've got to see him as the God of patience. The story of the Bible is a story of a patient God. Back at the beginning, God creates the heaven and the earth. He creates it perfect. Human beings fell into sin. But God doesn't just send us away and destroy us. He is patient with us. He says, I'm going to make things right. And the story of the Bible is a story of a patient God who calls a people to himself, who commits himself to a people, and they turn away from him again and again, and he calls them back, and he calls them back, and he calls them back, and finally, he gives himself to them. He comes down in Jesus Christ. And the God of patience becomes patience itself. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane exhibits patience with God when he says, not my will, but yours be done. And when he's taken by the Romans and he's in trial and he's being beaten and he's being slapped and he's being spat upon and he's being scorned, he exercises patience with people. He doesn't grumble at them. And on the cross, he gives himself for us. Why did he do it? He did it for us. Jesus Christ saved us through infinite costly patience so that now our sins can be forgiven. He suffered long so that we don't have to. Now, because of Jesus, the Father can be infinitely, unconditionally patient with us despite our flaws forever. Because of the cross, you know God isn't going anywhere no matter what you say or what you do. He's full of compassion, as James says, full of compassion and mercy. Do you know this? Do you trust in it? Do you depend on that? The more that we depend on the grace of Jesus Christ, the more patient we will able to be with life and with people. But you've also got to know the practices of patience. There are things that we have to do in order to put patience on the screen of our lives, right there in front of us. Three things. First, you've got to pray. In the midst of difficulty, when life happens, you've got to pray. In times that you want to and you really want to grumble at God, don't grumble at him, pray to him. Grumbling doesn't mean you can't be honest about your emotions. Grumbling is an inward thing. Prayer is an outward thing directed towards God, and God commands us to pray in our difficulty. Look at the Psalms. David is constantly, when he's in trouble, he is praying. He's praying, he's praying, he's praying, because he wants to grow in patience. He wants to be able to take the things that life throws at him and grow closer to God. Patience is not stoicism, right? Stoicism is just pushing it down. Patience is long-suffering, and it requires prayer. And when you don't feel like praying, that means you've got to pray harder. Second thing you've got to do is worship. You've got to worship with other Christians. On Sunday, during the week, whenever you can, you've got to worship even when you don't feel like it, even when the weather is bad. You've got to come together as God's people and worship. And third, you've got to approach life with the hope of Christ's return front and center. Leslie Newbegin did this. Leslie Newbegin was an Anglican missionary in India for decades. And when he retired, he returned home to England, where he spent the rest of his life. He was speaking and teaching and writing about the mission of God. And one day he was asked if he was an optimist or a pessimist. Leslie, are you an optimist or a pessimist? And I love his response. He said, I'm neither an optimist or a pessimist. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He had the hope of Christ which animated his life? Does it animate yours? Is that something that you think about on a daily basis that motivates your life? Pray honestly, worship consistently, always be hope-oriented. You won't go very far in your life without patience. We all need it. Our lives demand it. And the only way to get it in a way that changes you is through Christ. So run to him. Give yourself to him. Trust in him. And you will grow. Now, we aren't in the line at an amusement park waiting for Leviathan and the thrill. We're waiting patiently for the return of the King, who will come again, make all things new, and everything sad in this world will come untrue. In this hope, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be patient no matter what this life throws at you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the patience that you showed to us when you were willing to go to the cross to save us from our sins. Despite all of our efforts to put ourselves in the throne of our lives, you have not left our side. Call us to worship you, to trust you, to lay ourselves at your feet. And Lord, may this act, as we give ourselves to you, enable us to be patient no matter what life throws at us. Lord, forgive us for the times that we do grumble, the times that we turn inward and demand our schedule, our way, our life above the abundant life that you've planned for us. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may submit to you and to your will and to follow you in the midst of the storms of this world, like the prophets who brought a message of repentance to Israel no matter what was thrown at them, or Job, who had everything taken away and yet remained faithful in such a way that God gave him back the things that he had taken away. Lord, above all, may we constantly keep our hope not in this world, not in ourselves, but in you, that you are coming again, that you will make all things new. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.